Okay, today is Sunday, April 27th. It's around 2:15 and we're in Salisbury. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My name is Marty Cheddar. I'm here to interview Ms. Carrie Rogers about her experience having gone to East Carolina as a first-generation college graduate. I do need to ask, is it okay if we record this?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, great. And thanks so much for you know, replying to the inquiry. The university's very interested in hearing your story. So this is about you and your experience. So I guess we can start off with, if you could tell us or tell me more about your background, like your family, where you grew up, that kind of thing.
Well, I grew up in a small town called Faith, North Carolina, which is a few miles outside of Salisbury. My family, I was an only child. My grandparents, my grandfathers, they were never in the picture because they had passed away before I was born. My paternal grandmother, my dad's mom, she also lived in Faith, a little over a mile from my house, and I spent a lot of time with her. My mom's mom lives in the Salisbury area as well, and I spent some time with her. We did the typical things, I guess, growing up, or just for them living in the area. We had the typical 4th of July celebration in my town, where it's still going on now. It's over 50 years old. I went through the local school system here, K-12.
In Salisbury?
It was Faith Elementary School, Irwin, and East Rowan High School. East Irwin was the transitioning between junior high and middle school, so I was only there 7th and 8th grade. But that was here in Rowan County in the Salisbury area. I think the actual address for East Rowan and Irwin Middle School were Salisbury. But the town of Faith has their own elementary school, Faith Elementary. That's where I spent kindergarten through 6th grade. So that's a little bit about me. And my aunts and uncles also live in the area, except for my mom's younger brother, and he moved to Tennessee when I was probably about 10 with his wife and 2 sons. My mom's brother, I spent a lot of time with him and his wife and their 3 sons. So that's something about my family. And my mom does also have a sister. I didn't do much with my dad's brother, his only sibling, and his family. But they would come into play some off and on through my life. So how I went to ECU was, I decided somehow, I don't remember how, that I wanted to be an occupational therapist. And I narrowed it down to what I thought were the best 2 schools in the state for that. And at the time, it was East Carolina and Lenoir Ryan College. I got accepted at both, so it was up to me which one do I want to go to. And like some people who, they might apply to 2 or 3 colleges and they have one say yes, everybody else turns them down. I actually had a choice. I went to open houses at both schools, and the people at ECU were friendlier, and the weather was a whole lot better. It was a perfectly sunny day, nice weather. When I went to Lenoir Ryan, it was really bad, really rainy. You were walking through the parking lot with like an inch of water, so it was really raining hard. And I'm like, you know what, that does not look like a good sign. It's my first time visiting as a prospective student, and the people aren't as friendly, and it's a really nasty day outside, and they didn't seem prepared for that.
Yeah.
And everybody at ECU was so friendly and helpful, so that was really nice to see that. My parents dropped me off for my first semester there, and I was okay. I was a little nervous and scared at first, as anybody would be, but I was also ready for the new challenge. So they knew I'd be okay. I'd spent time away from home before on various trips with school or other like organizations, because I grew up doing stuff in a 4-H club and through the American Legion Auxiliary, and that they would provide opportunities for me to go on trips without mom or dad, so I wasn't one of those homebodies that had never spent a night away from home.
Yeah, those are good, especially, you know, formative younger years for sure.
The summer before my senior year, I was gone probably almost, if you add all the time up, it was probably a month I was gone.
Wow.
I was gone for 5 days or six, and then I came home overnight to leave for eight.
Wow.
At one time. That was just how it worked there. So. So you know, when they dropped me off at college, you know, that was okay for me to. And I was just cool with, you know, I can call them anytime I want to, you know. But they hadn't actually gotten the chance to go to college, so this was sort of a new thing for them, dropping somebody off for college that they knew. Actually, nobody until my cousins went to college, like aunts, uncles. They might have gone to like a trade school. Like one of my aunts did go start nursing school. I don't know that she finished it. Another aunt went to beauty school, but you know, that's just like a 2-year thing. And
How did you remember ever talking to your parents? Like, I mean, how did they ever come up, or
like I don't remember them starting the conversations with me about go to school, whatever. They said that, you know, at some point they let it be known that I was expected to go to college. It wasn't a choice of, oh, I want to go work at the mill, or I want to go work at Walmart or wherever. It wasn't even a choice of really going to college. Okay. Or community college. So
can you recall like what that made you feel like? I mean, just knowing that your family members hadn't really.
I didn't really think about the fact that my parents had just graduated from high school and stopped there. I guess I thought maybe that was because, you know, all my parents are just old. They didn't do that kind of thing when they were younger. Because, I mean, my parents didn't necessarily have some things growing up. Because I remember my mom saying she remembered in early elementary school grades and probably some past that where her family didn't have running water in their house. So I'm thinking that's like old school.
Yeah, sounds kind of way back.
And then I knew my mama grew up on a farm some, and you know, she told me about working with chickens and stuff and cows. So, I mean, if you grow up on a farm, you don't think of those people going to college or anything. And my parents actually made a deal with me before I graduated high school. They said, if you go to college, we'll pay you a car when you graduate.
Wow.
So, you know. And unfortunately, the car just died recently. An unpleasant death. It got wrecked accidentally.
Yeah, that's not
even
fun.
No, but I had the car for 7.5 years.
Wow.
So, and I actually named my car Blackbeard. Oh, yeah. It was a black car, and my friends were naming their vehicles. So since it was a black car, and I got it for graduating from East Carolina, I just named it Blackbeard.
Yeah, that's appropriate.
And it was a good car. So, you know, my parents, they actually, when they said, you're going to college, however that conversation initially happened, they were like, you know, we don't care what you major in. We don't care where you go to school. The only thing is, it must be a 4-year college and you must graduate with a degree. So, that was pretty wide range.
Yeah. Now, you're fortunate in that regard because, you know, they were supportive. You know, they really wanted you to have something better. So, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And they had grown up in this area, too, so it wasn't like they were trying to force anything on me. Like, I had friends that went to East Carolina, Heather and Caroline went, and their parents actually went to East Carolina. So when they grew up, I don't know what their deal was with their parents. I don't know if they had been to enough things before with football games or other pirate events. I don't know if they'd grown up going to that and thought, hey, I like that school, I'll go too. Or if mom and dad said, if you want us to pay for it, you're going there.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's what influenced them, but I didn't have such an influence because, you know, with parents not going to college, they didn't have a personal experience going to one versus another.
Sure.
Like State versus Carolina or ECU versus Appalachian. They didn't have those experiences, so it was a, you find out where you want to go and you just have a good day.
Yeah. Well, did your, so your parents, they both bring you and drop you off at ECU?
Right. They were still married. During my time at ECU, though, my dad did die. He had Parkinson's disease, and he died my third year there. So that was not a pleasant experience. He died 6 weeks after my grandma did.
And that was his mom?
Yeah.
No, that's, I know that's tough.
It's hard for me to break.
It's okay.
Because they said, you know, how much it meant for me to go. And Daddy was so sick that last year he was alive. That he, some people would have, you know, said, I have to stay home, but Daddy wouldn't let me quit.
Wow, that's amazing, that's an awesome. Nice
he wouldn't let me. I mean, that was an option for me. He was in the hospital a lot that last year, and Mama called me one morning and said, you know, she actually called me, and one of my friends from school had actually started out at a private college down at Pfeiffer for 2 years in our third year of college, because my friend's only 8 days older than I am. She we actually had the same first name and everything. Our parents, our moms had the same maiden name, and we had just grown up together. I don't know how closely our moms were related, but that was, my grandma died on a Wednesday morning. Mama called me and said, you know, your grandma died last night, or early this morning. And she said, we're going to have the funeral home visitation Friday night. The funeral will be on Saturday, so you don't have to miss school. And my grandmother's older two grandsons, my uncle's two children, because my grandma had two sons, my dad and his brother. His brother's oldest two sons were in college at, I think, Appalachian. Yeah, Appalachian. And she said, your grandma wouldn't want you to miss school. So you stay there until Friday and then come home. And then, you know, 6 weeks later, it was a Monday, and Mama called me and said, you're coming home tomorrow. Your daddy was sick, like I told you, on Sunday. And then on Monday, she, you know, called and said, I told you your daddy was sick yesterday, and I took him to the ER the night before and all that. And she said, last night he was non-responsive. And she told me, you're coming home in the morning. And my truck had been giving me some issues. Actually, it was Daddy's truck. It was in his name. And he said, or she said, I know your truck's been giving you issues. So your uncle and aunt, which is my mom's sister and her husband, so it's really my great aunt and her husband, were coming to get me the next morning, and then I was to let one of them drive my truck home, and then I was to be ready at a specific time with my stuff packed, ready to go. And then I was sitting on the front porch of Acock, because that's where I lived, in Acock Hall on the Hill. And they said, they came and said, okay, where's your truck? My aunt drove my truck home, and my uncle, he drove their van, and I rode with him home. And my truck had been overheating, and my uncle knew some stuff about overheating vehicles, and they just wanted to get it home, get it worked on. And my daddy was in the intensive care unit here at Rowan Regional. At the time, it might have still been Rowan Memorial Hospital, but it was the local hospital. And Daddy had been asking, where's Carrie? Where's Carrie? You know? And when I walked into the hospital, I've been in there. Like I said, Daddy was in there a lot. So I sort of did my way around. I wasn't sure where ICU was because he had never been in ICU when I was at home. He had always been in regular rooms. And I went up and I found the hallway where ICU was. And I heard a familiar male voice. And I'm thinking, that voice sounds familiar. I didn't think anything of it because I wasn't paying attention who was in the little visitor room or chapel room right along that hallway. And then I walked past it. And then I hear a familiar female voice, and it was my mom's mom. It was my grandma. And I back up, and I noticed that the male voice was actually the local sheriff at the time. Well, he's still sheriff now, but I had grown up knowing him, and when his kids were born, I became their babysitter. So that's why his voice was so familiar. When I was 16, he was in a different part of law enforcement at that time. And he trusted me, a 16-year-old kid with a brand new license. And it was a full license, unlike now where it's graduated. It was a full license. He trusted me driving his two children who were 8 and 6. They were 8 and 6 at the time. He trusted me driving his kids around town and with a key to his house. Wow. So, I mean, you know.
A lot of trust.
No wonder. He sounded so familiar to me.
Yeah.
And I said, Grandma, where's Daddy? Because I wasn't sure which part of ICU he was in. There were several different beds there. And she said, all right, come on, I'll show you. So we go back into the ICU ward. And as soon as my aunt, my dad's sister-in-law, she married his brother, as soon as my Aunt Karen saw me, she didn't really say anything, but there were several people standing around my dad's bed, and somehow she gestured or just caught their attention and looked my way, and it was like, all of a sudden, I'm some celebrity, and everybody moves back. Because he'd been asking for me, and I finally got there. And that was a Tuesday, and then the next night he died. So that was a difficult time.
For sure. But you had an opportunity to, so he knew you were there and stuff like that?
He knew I was there, and he had known that the truck had issues. It was overheating a lot. And we were able to get it fixed. He knew that we were going to get it fixed while I was on. And we thought when we left that night around 9-something that, you know, he was going to be there the next morning. Because we were just going to go home and sleep for a few hours and take my dog out and do some stuff like that. And I was actually talking on the phone to one of my friends from ECU. My friend that I was talking to is deaf. I was using the teletypewriter TTY phone to talk to him, so I wasn't really hearing the beeps because we have call waiting at my house. And the people at the hospital were able to get in touch with other relatives of mine. And my mom's brother, my Uncle Coy, he and his wife, my Aunt Doopsie, they both came over to my house and knocked on the door. And the way they knocked was not the typical little, you know, knock, 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 somebody's coming to visit. It was, if you don't come to the door, I'm going to beat it in kind of knock. So you knew it was something urgent. And my aunt said, you got to go to the hospital now. And when I heard that, I told my on the TTY, I was typing, and I said, family emergency, gotta go by. Hung up the phone. And I had a bag that I had carried with me that I had purposely packed that way the night before I left ECU. And because I have a history of migraine headaches, and I didn't know where I was going to be that night or any night. So I had like my medicine to prevent those, and I had Tylenol or Advil or something in case I did start getting a migraine, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had some clothes and stuff like that. So whenever I needed, I had my little emergency bag. I grabbed it and we left. Or at least I'm pretty sure I took that bag with me. But I know I had pretty much kept it with me a lot there. But that's... And they told us there that he died. And it was not one of the best times I ever had at ECU. But, you know, after I got the call that Monday night that, you know, carrier coming home tomorrow, I called up that guy, my friend John, and I said, by the way, I'm going home tomorrow. I said, my daddy's really sick. And they came over and stayed with me a while. I mean, that was just not something, you know, I really wanted to say to them. But I told them, you know, it's probably the end. And they're like, you'll get better. I'm like, you don't know. Because I'd seen him so sick for 10 years. Like, I know he was sick when I was 10, and he died when I was 20. And I...